The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
I'll tell you what. Tell you what. You know what?
Go on, what?
Fed up.
Fed up already?
Fed up, yeah.
Hang on, we're only two games into the season. Why are you
sick
fed up?
To the back teeth of people moaning how cold it is.
It's winter. What do they expect?
Listen, all we've heard for the last two rounds of Super League, oh, it's too cold. I've never been so cold in all my life.
Does this mean we've got too many? Is this the Australian players moaning?
Yeah, that's just players moaning. Yeah, fans are moaning. I'll tell you one thing, it did prove to me this weekend, with everyone tweeting how cold it is and can't feel my toes. Today's players and fans couldn't do Winter Rugby League.
Oh, definitely not. Well, we've had like 20 plus years now, haven't we, where we've been in summer.
Dear, oh dear.
The thing is, though, we start at this time every year.
Have you all softened up or something?
We start at this time every year. You know the first 6 or 7 weeks of a season are going to be freezing.
Come on, rugby league's meant to be a rough, tough sport, played by rough, tough players, supported by rough, tough people who can take anything.
Everyone should have just done what I did.
Everyone's moaning about how cold it is. Oh, know, it's too wintry.
Do you know what I did?
Get on with it.
Do you know what I did?
What?
Layered up. If you layer yourself up, then you're fine. There's nothing wrong with it at
all. Exactly. But the thing is, I'm just sick of everyone moaning how cold it is.
I had four layers on, two pairs of socks, even my thermals.
Very, very fetching.
You're very fetching, yeah. That was on the outside.
No, I'm sick of it. I wish people had stopped doing it now. Listen, I grew up on the terraces of Widnes in the 70s where you couldn't feel your toes in May, never mind in February.
And have none of these people visited Watershed Inns? How cold did it used to be there?
I'd never been in the Allstud during a Floodlit Trophy game.
Exactly. You know, that place has got its own microclimate. You could go there in the middle of October and next thing you know, you'd be seeing polar bears.
Obviously, today fans have never been working to... On a Tuesday night. Actually, no, you couldn't because you didn't have floodlights back in them days. But well, it doesn't matter.
To be fair, very sadly, not a lot of people seem to be going to Workington, which is a real shame. But yeah, I'm sort of with you.
That was a strange one. I was thinking about that with Workington. Night matches.
Right.
They used to play them on Saturday afternoons.
Did they?
Yeah.
All right, okay. I never knew that. So they were like, they thought, right, we'll have a night match. It's got to be a Saturday, though, with
Saturday
no floodlights.
No floodlights.
So they didn't go giving out, like...
It's only towards the back end of the season, when the nights were a little bit lighter for longer.
Right.
They kick off at 6 o'clock.
Did they have... So they didn't, like, hand out miners lamps or anything like that?
No, nothing like that.
No, no? All right, okay. Well, you learn something new every day. This show is educational.
So anyway, enough of the rant about the weather.
Go on.
People stop doing it because it's doing me head in. Welcome to the Final Hooter.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's good to be back, actually.
Yeah, Adrian Jackson, David Parkinson talking rugby league on the Final Hooter. The number one show for Radio General and the number one rugby league website, loverugbyleague.com.
Yep.
And I've got a cold.
I can tell.
And a husky voice.
And the thing is, though, you're not doing any... You should be the first one who's moaning about
exactly.
The weather.
Exactly. I was out there in the elements on Thursday, loving it.
What have you done? Rub Vicks on your chest so you can get out?
Yes.
There you go.
Two rounds in, two rounds down. How do you think? What's your thoughts?
What do you think? You sort of like, you screwed your face up then. What's all this about?
I don't know.
Well, you know, okay.
I'm on a bit of a moan tonight.
Let's look at the good side.
The good side. Go on then.
St. Helens. Wow. Yeah, they were brilliant in week one.
Yeah.
They were dogged in week two away at Catalans. And that fella, Ben Barber, he really has set off this season like a rocket. He's beating players left, right and centre. I watched the game against Catalans and there was one particular occasion. He took the ball from 40 metres from his own line, danced past about four players, still managed to sidestep and get an offload away. He's just fantastic. Where was this player last season?
I don't know. Probably still in Australia. But in the game against Castleford, I like this tackle.
Oh, yeah.
The big hit.
The one where he got the winger over the touchline when the mid broke away.
That's a big hit.
It was a great challenge.
He's not the biggest player, is he?
He's not. He's tiny, really, isn't he? He's only about 5'8" and about 12 stone.
Still bigger than me and you, but in rugby league terms, he's not the big, massive guy.
No, he's not. He's not. If I put him next to you, I bet he only reaches your shoulder.
Super League's on holiday. I mean, on a promotion in Australia.
Yeah, can I have a rant to this?
Oh, God, are you having a rant? What is this? The Rugby League Final Hooter rant.
Yeah, can we have the parky rant? So this is my first parky rant.
I'd moan about the weather.
Yep. Mine's going to be...
moaning about it.
Okay. why the heck would you take a game to Australia? Yeah, you was ready to cut me off, wasn't you?
I was.
I saw you.
I was ready for the bleep button. Then.
Yeah, yeah. But why? Why take a game to Australia? It's bigger in Australia than it is over
they
here.
They got 12,000. It'd be interesting to see how many Australians were in it.
Probably about 7,000, I believe.
Because obviously there are a lot of ex-Brits living in down on there, isn't there?
I know both sides managed to muster about 5,000. That's what the figures were suggesting from the
both
game.
Both sides, what, whole Wigan?
Yeah. You know,
are they people who live in Australia?
But I don't know.
Probably a couple of hardened bunch of people went over there.
They reckon that, you know, there was 7,000 locals that went through there. But that's still poor for me. Call this, don't they, a branding exercise. I think that's what it'll go down as.
Right.
But if you've got real plans and you're wanting to push the game, we keep hearing about New York potentially coming in. We're hearing about Boston coming in. We're hearing about Toronto. And you've got, you know, people like Coventry that are knocking around and the guys that are right on the fringes of the rugby league. We've had Scotland do so well over the last few years internationally. Okay, maybe not last World Cup, but
why didn't we get a team in Edinburgh?
Why don't we play a game in Edinburgh?
We have done Magic Weekend.
Yeah, but that was it. That was a while ago, wasn't it? Why not take this instead of taking it 12,000 miles away, where, you know, you've got to be a rich man to basically
the mega rich could only afford to go.
Exactly. The rest of us were getting up at 8 o'clock in the morning. You know, this is what weekends are meant for, lying in. They're not meant for getting up at 8 o'clock in the morning to watch a game of rugby.
No.
I'm not a fan of it. I just think that they've done it. And what have they done it for? They've got a couple of pages in the Illawarra Mercury.
Which is probably the equivalent of the Warrington Guardian.
To be fair, yeah. I would think that is. So they've gone spreading the game, but they've only spread it out to, you know, the districts of Illawarra. They played in a lovely stadium.
I saw plenty of twits.
Tweets. I saw plenty of tweets as well.
And other social media outlets are available.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people saying, yeah, good afternoon, rugby league in Sydney. But plenty of people saying it's not in Sydney.
No, it wasn't. Illawarra's out on the coast. I mean, beautiful setting. I mean, that stadium where they played, it backs onto the beach.
It's like backing onto the Mersey.
If there's a stadium that I want to visit in the world, well, there's two stadiums, really, that I want to visit. The one in Papua New Guinea. Used in the World Cup because it was packed every week, and I would love to see that and the vibrancy that would produce. But secondly, it would be that Wynn Stadium, which was just by the sea. Because I just think, if you're ever having a bad game...
Is it Wollongong?
Wollongong, yeah.
Yeah.
So if ever you're by the sea, you know, and your team's not doing well...
It's breezy though, isn't it?
Well, no, you could just go out for a... I'm sure they'd let you out and you'd just take your bodyboard with you. You could go out doing some surfing.
So you're not a fan of taking Super League to Australia, though?
Nah, why take it to Australia? It's already big there. We've just shown our competition up because it's nowhere near the standard of the NRL.
Well, you can see what's going to happen, can't you? I mean, like to Wigan and Hull, they've been out there 2 weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so when they come back...
They'll freeze. They'll complain.
They'll be complaining it's too cold, and they'll be complaining they spent too much time out over in Australia.
Exactly, you know, but now they should be back over here. Never mind playing another game over there against Australian opposition.
Why are we having an expanded World Club Challenge? I thought they'd done away with that.
I don't think it is it, officially?
What is it then?
They're just two friendlies that they're playing.
They're just playing two friendlies because they want to have another week in Australia.
I can understand Wigan's point of view because they've had a close affinity, haven't they, with Souths because of Coach Maguire.
I thought the two games at Hull and Wigan were playing were part of the World Club Challenge again.
No, it just says in the back of the Rugby League Press this week, exhibition games.
Okay.
So,
what's the point of that?
Exactly.
They're only playing too many games.
Exactly. I'm with you. I can't believe this.
I can understand the World Club Challenge with Leeds being out there against Melbourne. Yes, I understand that one.
Yeah.
But why can't Wigan and Hull just play their game and then come back?
Exactly. There is no reason, and as a result, we've only got two Super League games this week, haven't we?
We have.
So it's just disrupting the season. For what aim? For what end? Those couple of pages in the Illawarra Mercury, they must be paying a fortune.
Is one on the Friday, one on the Saturday?
Both on the Saturday?
Yeah.
Both those games. So they're even?
No, Widnes and Warrington Friday.
Oh, you talk about the Super League games. Yeah. So you've got Warrington and Widnes and Warrington on the Friday. And Hull KR and Catalans on Thursday.
So no game on Sunday. Not the Super League.
There's plenty of championship action you can catch on the Sunday. Also, Betfred League One gets underway this week.
Nice little plug for Betfred.
Well, they are the sponsors.
Oh, okay.
They paid their gig.
They do, yes.
And officially, you do get sent something as a written member of the media. They do actually send you an email telling you what you've got to refer to all competitions as. So I can't just say it's the championship. It's the Betfred championship.
Right, okay.
It's the Betfred Super League.
Have to remember that.
It's Betfred League One. In fact, it's just Betfred.
Betfred's the man. He is the man, isn't he?
He is. I think that's enough mentions, to be honest.
If you're going to have a bet with Fred. Speaking of the championship, yeah, you took in Lee versus Batley at the weekend.
Yeah, and impressed with Batley. Unfortunately, they had the first game of the season called off. Batley get postponed against Rochdale.
Did you see the state of the pitch?
Yeah, well, to be honest, it's been a little bit like that, and there's a couple of times I've been down to Rochdale already this pre-season, so it's been in a heck of a state. It's been affecting all the football and stuff.
Oh, well, I'm amazed football haven't already blamed Rugby League for it.
I think, indirectly, Tottenham Hotspur were doing...
they're not even played yet, and they're already blaming
the
league.
I know, they're relaying a new pitch, actually.
Right, okay.
Just for Tottenham, I think. But what it does mean, it means that Rochdale can catch up on the games, because unfortunately, they had another postponement last week.
So Rochdale Football Club, let me get this straight, because they've drawn Tottenham Hotspur of the mighty Premier League in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
They've actually dug up the pitch and relayed a new surface for them. Why?
Yeah. So,
what about making home advantage counter, making it as horrible as ever?
Well, maybe they couldn't get string two passes together either. We don't know the reason, really,
anyway,
do we?
Enough of the rubbish game. Exactly. Let's talk rugby league, the proper sport.
Okay. So I was really pleased to see Batley on the pitch, having had that false start. And to be fair, they were pretty good. They were pretty solid. They had the best of play, really, over the first 10, 12 minutes of the game.
Right.
Lee hit them with a couple of tries. Mm. We're 18-0 up. They pull a try back before half-time. 18-6 at the turnaround. They have a try disallowed at the start of the second half, which could have really put the cat amongst the pigeons for a second week running at Lee. Because you remember, they did Lee against Toronto in the first game of the season.
Mm.
So this was an opportunity for things to be put right. But you'll hear from Matt Diskin in a second, and he was pretty happy despite what was a heavy defeat for his side.
Well, Matt Diskin, on the end of a 34-6 scoreline, what were your thoughts on the game?
I'm proud of my guys' performance. I thought the scoreline actually flattered me a little bit. The big difference between probably part-time and full-time, you've got all the condition and everything in the world, and we should be fitter, stronger athletes, but what they generally have is a higher concentration span, and we talked about that this week, and the three or four lapses in concentration we had against the runner player Lee came and scored against us, which is a bit sickening, particularly when we talked about it. But I thought our guys caused Lee quite a few problems. I thought defensively we were quite well structured, and not until we had those lapses in concentration until we fatigued when a full-time team did they take advantage of it. So we're encouraged by it, we're proud, we fought right to the final whistle, and plenty to work on.
I thought your first 10 or 15 minutes was really good, and Lee arguably scored against the runner play there.
Yeah, they did on two occasions, yeah.
You pulled yourself back into it before half-time and then had that chance in the corner just after half-time, which would have really put the kettle up to pigeons.
Well, it was unlucky with the ground. I thought it was a great play. We tested them out on their right edge and came back with a kick, and we were just unlucky with that one, and then it goes to 16-12 and it's a different game, but it's all this and much, you don't know. Either way, what we do know is we're on the back of an hiding from Lee, which, in all honesty, most people who was actually watching the game, the scoreline does flatter them a little bit. We was in the game for most parts, competed very, very well with it. Let's say three or four lapses in concentration against a runner player killed us off a little bit.
I mean, this is your first league game as well, isn't it? Because you have last week called off. Does that have a bearing on things as well?
Yeah, it does. Because one of our boys, a few of our boys were rusty, so when I got to half time, I've gone through one or two more substitutions than I anticipated. Obviously, I've been very heavy legged with it being the first game and everything else, so it affected some of our rotations. I'm glad to keeping people fresher later in the games. We chewed through some of our middles very, very quickly. But did that have an overall effect on the game? Probably not.
Any standouts for you in that?
I thought, as a team, I thought structurally in D we were good for most parts. You know, you can see them working very, very hard for each other. And you know, I don't think there's one potential standout. I thought they all had a real good dig. They all tried to do the right things, worked hard for each other, and that reflected even at the very end when most teams have come here this year and roll over and take 60 points from league. You know, we fought hard to make sure we were still fighting, even in the last minute, trying to throw the ball about.
May I ask you, because you've got to this stage now where you're sort of 18 months into your coaching career.
Yep.
I know I spoke to you a couple of times last season, and you was you've got like a few niggly things that you was trying to sort out, and consistencies. Yep. Do you feel you're getting that from your squad now?
I feel we've got, regarding the squad throughout, we've got championship quality players right throughout, which obviously helps regarding the quality of drop off and things like that. But the players, you know, I dropped out of a full time environment my whole life into part time, and took me a little while to adjust, took the players a little while to adjust. But when we've got there, I think, you know, the back end of last year and hopefully in the pre season games this year, you can see the progress we've made from previous, and we're really encouraged about how we're progressing and where we're going in probably the toughest championship that's been. It's a great competition to be part of, and one that doesn't get enough coverage it deserves.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Matt Diskin there seems to have adapted really well to his role as a head coach.
Yeah, it was interesting, that final question, because I know I spoke to him a couple of times last year and he was a bit frustrated with the inconsistencies of his side. But I think, like you heard him there, he's been in a full-time environment, hasn't he, since the age of like 17, 18,
really
all the way
old?
Through.
Is that all he was when he entered into the world of rugby league?
He was only a kid. He was only a kid when he came through the ranks at Leeds. And, you know, as a result, I think maybe he was expecting a little bit too much of the part-time players, and he's got a good bunch there at Batley, despite that quite heavy defeat. He's right, they did stick with it, and you know, Lee just took the chances to coin that old saying and that old phrase, which I know that we both often use when we're on a commentary mic somewhere. So interesting background noise as well, I have to admit.
Yeah, sound like you took him to the local nightclub.
You know, you wouldn't believe, I took him as far away from the Batley dressing room door as I could do, underneath the tunnel area at Lee. And every time it opened, it was like, blanky neck, it was a trip back to the 90s with the music.
Wow. Yeah, Lee obviously were looking to get back to winning ways, weren't they? So they wanted to put on a better performance, what they did against Toronto.
Yeah, it was a much better performance. I mean, for Toronto, they did the business for about 20 minutes. And, you know, you take nothing away from Toronto for the final 60 minutes of that particular game. They were excellent. There was a lot of guys with points to prove, you could say. And surprisingly, it never got quite as physical as one might have expected. But they did the business here against Batley. Again, the two halfbacks, it's a new halfback pairing between Hutchison and Reynolds. I thought both of those were outstanding. And I tell you what, the Lee crowd have got a new fan favourite.
Oh yeah, who's that?
Paddy Vaivai.
Who?
Paddy Vaivai.
All right.
He's a prop forward.
Right.
Right. And every time he gets the ball, he just scatters players in front of him.
He's a handful, man.
He's a bit of a handful, yeah. He's like a human wrecking ball.
With a name like that, he doesn't sound like he's from Lee.
No, he's come from the NRL, strangely enough.
Okay. So we're here for Neil Jukes. He's a proper leafer.
Wiganer. But he's been at Lee for a long while. We'll let him off.
That's what I meant.
You know, we're never going to be our best on game one and game two, and I think people sometimes forget just how much change we've had over the off season. So, but it was really important individually and collectively. We improved some things today, some big areas, and I thought, you know, we took at times took the emotion out of it and played with a lot more common sense. And on the back of it, you know, probably I think if you were a bit critical, we'd be a bit more ruthless in certain areas. We could have quite easily got a lot more points than we did. But yeah, I thought defensively we stood up to it, and you know, let's stop one in before half time. But yeah, in particular, our kicking game was a lot more solid. You know, we asked a lot more questions, and as I say, on another day, maybe, you know, 3-4 weeks time, we get a bit more continuity, we post a lot more points than we did.
A few changes today, chance to look at a few new faces. Were you happy with the contributions of people like Baptiste and Laroya?
Yeah, you know, Kev would have played last week, so you know, I saw a bit of Kev's game today, what suggested it was his first for later, so you know, he'll be better for it. Our halfback's got another game together and again showed some good glimpses again. Obviously Kirk came off with a bit of a bang to the shoulder, just have to assess that one. And Jack Owens, yeah, he gives a bit of movement and just a bit of difference around the back. So we'll do that through the year. You know, it's important we spread some work and give people opportunities. And not everybody who done play has necessarily been dropped. It's just making sure we can balance it out and keep the harmony of the group right, and without being too disrespectful of the competition.
You mentioned Jack Owens there. I thought he was particularly solid.
Yeah, you know, that's what you want, really, I suppose, from the spine of your team. And like I say, he got on the end of some nice stuff, and he asked some questions, as I say, and he's, I could hear him obviously, you know, defensively, you know, sorting stuff out from the back there, and that's really important. So yeah, he gives a lot of energy. You know, I thought Ilias, you know, making his debut for us, he was solid, you know, he didn't let us down there either, and we had some nice bit of class there, I think, you know, at times from Peter Matoto, who I thought was solid throughout, as Bordeaux was on that right side. So yeah, you know, it's not a polished performance, but it's something that's certainly far better than last week, and that's not going against obviously a lesser team. We played to our own standards, and like I said, we played with the right intensity at the right time. You know, we probably just need to get a gauge on the rucks, I suppose, in particular, you know, in yardage. Too many times we just stop pressure through some soft penalties, I thought. So that's one area obviously we need to squeeze in moving forward.
It was certainly an area you tightened up in the second half though, because there was a lot less penalties in the game.
Yeah, I felt, you know, at half time we were rolling pretty easy, our kicking game was pretty solid. The only thing we needed to back on the top of that was just being a bit smart defensively, and we're not going to win every ruck defensively, but you know, on the ones we do, again, we just need to make our mind up whether we want to get marched 40-50 metres downfield, or we just roll to one side and just let's win the next one and then go again. So yeah, I thought you know, certainly our discipline was a massive area. We spoke about it at half time, and something, you know, I'm not sure when it finished, but I think second half, I think we only gave one or two maximum, and that helped us keep field position and build a lot more pressure than we did.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Oh, there's a relief. Neil Jute's looking to get back to winning ways. He did so against the Batley Bulldogs, and then Lee will be relieved, won't they, having lost that to Toronto. Toronto couldn't back up their first win of the season. They were given the right scare at the hands of Barrow Raiders.
Yeah, and Barrow were really, really unlucky not to win it, because I think there was a late drop goal, wasn't there, that was charged down. Mm. And it means that it's going to be an interesting old league, is the championship.
I think it is. I think it's lopsided, in the fact you've got Toronto and Lee spending more money than everybody put together, to be honest. But you will have occasions where the conditions or the team playing either Lee or Toronto will pick the game up and match them head on.
Well, certainly what the championship does, I think, better than any division in rugby league, it tests you mentally, doesn't it?
It does.
You've got to be turned on, because sometimes you go to some of these places and the crowds won't be as big or as noisy as in Super League.
The conditions are not great.
Yeah, the conditions aren't great. The facilities, we're sounding like we're moaning already, don't we? But it's a great leveller sometimes. I mean, some of these league players, for example, they're going to get a shot when they go and do the return fixture, aren't they, at Mount Pleasant?
Running
up that hill, bit of Kate Bush.
Exactly.
but
Toronto, all right, their aim is to be in Super League. I think they're a bit of a distance away from achieving that.
You reckon?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's early days in the season anyway, isn't it?
It is.
And Paul Rowley himself has admitted that it's going to take a little bit more gelling together of his side and getting them to perform. I mean, but
probably have to spend a bit more money as well.
Bear in mind, they have got guys like Joe Westerman went there, didn't they, from Warrington. Mm. And he had a brilliant game against Lee, by the way. I didn't catch too much of the game against Barrow, but hearing some of the comments that came through my social media, Barrow were excellent that game. They did everything possible but get that win, and they trailed at half time as well. Now, quite easily, when they previously played Toronto, they've gone off and left them for dead, to be fair, but they really stuck to the guns, and yeah, they're not going to have it all their own way, Toronto.
It isn't just all about Lee and Toronto, by the way, in the championship.
Oh, definitely not.
Feversham Rovers look like they're going to be a handful this season. London Broncos could be the dark horses. And Toulouse, obviously.
Yeah, very much so. And, you know, you can't discount clubs like Dewsbury, who can get a shock. You know, they've got the old hand there.
Got the maestro.
Neil Kelly, haven't they, at the helm. And we know from his record late last season how great they were, you know, to be fair. But Dewsbury succumbing to the first big nilling of the season. They lost 12-0 to the London Broncos at the weekend. But it's been job continuing, hasn't it, really, for London Broncos.
Yeah.
Danny Ward has stepped into the top job there now, thanks to Andrew Henderson getting a job with Warrington. And he's not standing still. He's got him playing in a similar sort of format. I noticed Jared Sammet is amongst the points once again.
Well,
so
2-2 suggests he's got it right.
Oh, very much so. And to keep a side to nil is very difficult these days, isn't it? Mm. So it just shows how hard they worked. You know, you could say that they worked the tails off, to be honest, at the weekend. And they put 56 points on Barrow the week before. So, you know, this is doubly why we must praise Barrow as well, because to come back from a 50-point shellacking in week one, to draw him with ultimately one of the guys that are the front runners in the championship, or we're all expecting there to be, they deserve that that sort of credit. I'm still feeling sorry for Rochdale, though, because they still haven't played.
Still in pre-season.
To be fair, though, they're not bottom. Yeah, they're not bottom.
How's that work?
I know. You'd think that they, but it's Swinton who are bottom by virtue of getting beat quite heavily at Toulouse on week one.
Right, okay.
But bear in mind, Swinton only play one game as well, because they had the game with Rochdale called off last week. So
they did.
It's been like a bit of a false start for a couple of the clubs.
Not, not talking about the weather anymore. All right.
No. Okay, that's fair enough.
Let's stop it.
Let's move on.
Halifax did okay. It's Sheffield.
Yeah, did you notice a couple of the names that were playing for Halifax? They had James Clare playing for them. A couple of other loanees as well from Castleford.
Obviously, Richard Marsh was using his network of connections really well.
Very much so, very much so. But, I mean, Halifax doing a lot of things right at Championship level. They are creating their own players. They have got quite a few kids that they have signed from the reserve side, which has been proven to be a success. And, yeah, being very good. It's a bit tough for Sheffield at the moment. As per usual, Mark Aston has had to put a brand new team on the field this year. There's been so many changes, different players coming in. He's got four players currently on dual reg from St Helens.
Don't even get me going with dual reg. I'm getting annoyed with dual reg already.
Yeah, but he's got to go with it.
Everyone's on dual reg.
He's got to go with it. This is what happens.
Even North Wales Crusaders have announced it with witness now.
Yeah, well, it's what happens. North
Destroying
Wales
Destroying the championship.
To be fair to North Wales Crusaders, though, they are actually entering a team in the North West Men's League.
They are,
which is great. North West, North Wales Reserves. So, you know, big up to them, to be fair.
I'm just saying, I'm annoyed with dual reg already.
That's okay. So, is this
angry?
Hang on, is this your second rant of the show?
No, I'm not going to bite.
Okay, yeah, maybe next time.
Maybe next time.
Okay, yeah. We'll see how many dual reg players actually do the old mixy Rooney over this next few weeks.
Exactly. Then they might come out all guns blazing.
Your name check, Featherstone Rovers. They were brilliant, to be honest, against Toulouse. The man right at the heart of it, well, he's served Lee for the last 9 years. It's none other than Martin Ridyard. He's gone there, seems to be really enjoying his rugby. And you're definitely right to pinpoint them as a dark horse as well.
Yeah, I think John Duffy's going to be playing a good style of rugby.
Always does, though, John. I mean, he was a really clever player. One of my favourite players, if I'm being truthful, over this last sort of 20 years. He'd always try something a little bit different. And he's carried that sort of thinking into his coaching career. I mean, arguably, Swinton are one of the best teams to watch in the Championship over couple of years, despite them having up and down results. And now he's got, shall we say, more resources at his disposal.
Like, he performed miracles keeping them in the championship.
He did, you know, as did Stuart Littler at the end of last year, when everything was looking like it was really going to the wall. But Featherstone for me, definitely one of the dark horses in the championship this season.
Super League's two rounds in. Round one kicked off with the champions taking on Warrington. Warrington were looking to scratch away last year and forget all about it and have a better season, but for Warrington. Getting off to a losing start against Leeds and backed up with a defeat against Huddersfield.
It's painful at the moment, isn't it? But it could have all been different if Ryan Atkins had actually gone in at the corner.
Oh, you know about the Leeds game?
Yeah, I don't know why he dived from so far out. It was just a crazy moment, wasn't it?
Yeah. Leeds, for me, hard-working team. Didn't really have to do a lot. Just did enough to get what was their first win in 8 years.
At Warrington,
yeah.
That's good. And to be fair, I mean, they're the champions. They find a way of winning when it matters most.
They did.
Only week one, but I thought they showed a lot of character in this particular game.
As if from Richie Marley.
Richie Marley, first game this season, done and dusted. Leeds more than happy with the performance tonight.
Yeah, it was a good hit out. I mean, it was a tough game. I think both teams was very close. So I thought we worked hard, and I think our middles were outstanding. and across the board, we all had a good performance, and we got over the line.
Great goal line defence as well at times.
Definitely, yeah. We scrambled hard, which it wasn't perfect, it wasn't pretty, but in the end, we did the job, and we got the games like that. You've got to work hard for one another, and I think we did that tonight.
Well, taken try to win the game for you in the second half by Ryan Hall.
Yeah, unbelievable. I think that's across the board. That's the kind of talent we've got in the team that can produce moments like that. I mean. I was stood on the halfway line cheering him on. It was a great performance, I think, across the board. I think we ripped in together and worked hard. And like I say, it's a tough place to come, Warrington, and win. And I don't think Leeds have done it in 8 years.
I was going to say, you know all about how tough it is to come here, so it just shows you just how good the performance was on the first game of the season.
Yeah, we're not getting too carried away. Obviously, there's a long way to go. There's 30 odd rounds to go. But like I say, it was a good start. We were happy with it. We're happy we won instead of lost. And like I say, Warrington's a tough play to come to, but we come away with 2 points.
How do you feel you went on your debut?
Yeah, enjoyed it. Enjoyed being out there. Worked hard for the team and just did my job, really. Did my role and just worked hard for the team, and we got the result.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Oh, bless him. He wanted to get away to catch his mum up.
Well, it's been a while, hasn't it? I mean, he's been in France for the last couple of years.
He has, hasn't he? Yeah.
So he's had a great start to his Leeds career, to be honest, hasn't he, Richie Myler? And he was one of those guys that I wasn't 100% sure how he would go, but he's making me eat my words.
I think his style of rugby league suits Leeds.
Yeah, yeah. And he gets stuck in, doesn't he? He's an honest player. He always was, to be fair.
Yes.
And again, he was very good at the weekend when they played against Hull Kingston Rovers. Hat-trick there for Jimmy Kynhorst.
I tell you, he's a good, honest, hard-working player.
Go on.
Joe Mellor.
Oh, he's been fantastic for Widnes so far, hasn't he?
Outstanding for Widnes against Catalans. They beat them in round one. 40 points to 12, I'd say, from him right now.
Joe Mellor up and running with a win. That was a very impressive win tonight.
It was, I think. Second half, definitely. I think first half took us a bit to go in, a bit of loose ball on the floor, but definitely second half we picked it up and we proved what we can do.
Yeah, didn't panic when you went behind as well though?
No, we never, because we scored first, and like you say, we didn't panic. We just needed to get back into the process, what we've been doing all pre-season, what we know we can do, and like I say, we didn't panic, and we just stuck to our game plan, and we come out the other end.
Pleasing thing as well, no points conceded in that second half.
Yeah, it's massive. Like I said, we second half was a much better performance than our first. Like I said, we were a bit sloppy in the first half. Still, our defence wasn't the best in the first half either, but I think no tries at second half, I think that's massive to keep them at zero in second half, and for us to score some good tries as well.
The partnership with Joe, with Tom Gilmore, certainly bubbled along nicely today.
Yeah, it has. I think we know out each other's games. We know what we both can do, and I think coming out the last season we hardly played together just through injuries, but I think this year it's going to be really good for us two to play together.
You mentioned guys with injuries. Christine spent a lot of the time last year injured, certainly came out the blocks firing today.
Yeah, definitely. I think he only played about 5 games last year, and I've got a good partnership with him on that right edge. He looks after me, and he's been really good today, and I think not playing as much last year, it seems like a new signing for us, really, so that's really good.
Big win today. Tough game next Sunday against Castleford.
Yeah, definitely. I think you've got to look at every game. Every game's tough. Just got to prepare for it like we have this week. Get some good confidence from the win this week, and we'll have a good week training, and take it into Castleford next week.
They certainly did, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
Very lucky not to have won that game.
And I'm glad that Christine gets a mention, to be honest, because he had so much bad luck last season.
No, his nickname is at Widnes.
Go on.
Torville.
Torville and Dean.
Yeah.
I see what they did there. Hey,
rugby league players are not just good at playing rugby league.
And well done as well. We've managed to cram in a Winter Olympic reference.
Exactly.
You was waiting for that, weren't you?
I was listening to that interview, and you had the Batley beat box.
Yeah, you had a squeaky door.
I had a squeaky door to contend with.
It wasn't half doing a good old turn that squeaky door, was it?
Yeah, Castleford, they were relieved to have got out with a win there.
Very
certainly
much so.
After getting thrashed by St Annes in round one.
Now, I know we've got a common suggestion, haven't we? We've got second season syndrome. We say it with new players, don't
yes.
we? When they go into one club, they have a great first year, and sometimes it doesn't happen in the second year. Are we seeing a Castleford second season
is
syndrome?
It, maybe, maybe not. Too early to say, isn't it, really? Obviously, there's a lot of expectation on the Tigers after what they did last season. So the pressure is on them to fulfil what everyone expects them to do.
There was an interesting...
But the problem is with that, because everyone's picking them up and bagging them up to be the wow team. Everyone's waiting for them to fall flat on the face so they can criticise them, aren't they?
To be fair, we do this particularly well, don't we, in the UK?
Yeah.
We always do it with a...
Build you up, then kick you down.
That's it. Don't get above your station, Castleford. Don't get above your station. Interesting,
I'm sure they'll be okay.
Interesting to note, though, there was a comment that I read from Daryl Powell where he said, every year's different.
It is.
Don't go comparing it with last year.
You can't. It's impossible.
And it is, you know, because last year was almost like a perfect storm in many respects for Castleford, wasn't it? Everybody came together. There was a lot of great, great play. And it's early doors. Everybody's settling back into it.
Listen, in the Bradford glory days, Brian Noble used to say the same thing every time.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
So he's pinched that from Nobby Nolan, has he?
Brian Noble always used to say, it's not how you start the season, it's how you finish.
Really? There you go.
There you go. Don't win nothing in two rounds.
We're rolling them out tonight.
Exactly. Yeah, well done to Widnes winning that one. For Steve McManara, if he thought the job was going to be hard in France, I think the opening two rounds suggests he's got a job and a half on his hands.
Well, certainly. I mean, they got ripped to shreds, didn't they, against Widnes in week one. Widnes played some fantastic rugby. Yeah,
it's a worry they didn't beat St. Helens. St. a man down, though.
But it's hard to... It's hard to pinpoint sometimes. I mean, the actual stats for that game showed it to be really, really close. And again, St. Helens kind of clubbed together and got through it. In that particular game, James Robey, absolutely outstanding.
Class, isn't he?
He has continued his international form, his form at the end of last season. I think I counted, and I definitely saw a stat sheet which suggested he'd done 50-plus tackles. He took the ball in 12 times, and he passed it something like 120 times as well. So he was never that far away from the action, it would be fair to say.
Right.
And, there's a couple of other players that have been real standouts during the opening couple of rounds of Super League. We mentioned Jimmy Kinehorse getting a hat-trick in round two, but in round one there were three different hat-tricks. Talanoa over at Hull grabbed a hat-trick.
Okay.
Then we also saw Chris Percival score a hat-trick, and Johnston over at Wakefield. Now, again, he's another guy, isn't he, Tom Johnston? He had the world at his feet last year. Everyone was suggesting he might even get in the England team, and he had a season in injury just after Easter, and that was it. We hadn't seen him, but he's burst right back into form. And speaking of Wakefield, because we never seem to talk enough about the Wakefield side, do we? How good has Fifita been at the start of this year?
Outstanding.
He is like a bowling ball with legs, I tell you.
He certainly is the go-to man for Wakefield, isn't he?
He is brilliant. I mean, he's got two games under his belt so far this season. He's averaging 130 metres a game, which is tremendous for a prop.
I like the way you're on your stats already.
Oh, you know I'm already at it.
You're chewing them up for breakfast, aren't you?
Loving it. Lunch, tea.
Supper,
yeah. Even that early breakfast. We have 11s in
there. 11s as well.
Yeah, 11s. Yeah, yeah. I'm just munching away at my stats.
Mid-afternoon stats.
Yep. Every time I can get it, I'm on that Opta website. I need life.
Yeah, you need life, yeah. League One kicks off this weekend. How are the fixtures lining up for that one then?
Oh, we've got Doncaster against Coventry. We have Hemel Stags hosting Hunslet. We've got Keighley Cougars at home to Workington Town. North Wales Crusaders host London Scholars. Newcastle Thunder are on the road to West Wales Raiders. That's got to be a long trip for him, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Blinking heck.
That's to leave on Friday night.
Whitehaven versus Oldham. Well, I think they might even have to leave a bit earlier than that, to be honest. if it's anything like the traffic I had to come through on the M60 just to get here tonight. Blinking heck, right. Whitehaven versus Oldham, and York City Knights taking on the Bradford Bulls. And I believe there's going to be a bumper crowd there.
There is. Bradford Bulls have actually sold 1,000 tickets and that.
That's going to be super. I mean, I think, what was it, 2,700 they got against Toronto last year?
Yeah.
We could be on for topping that.
Well, we know our opinion on the city of York. If Rugby League are obsessed with having clubs in the big cities, York prime for it.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, I've already mentioned Reykjavik Raiders, and I've already mentioned about the Tenerife Titans. What about the York City Knights?
Why not?
Up the Neats.
Oh, they won't. It's in Heartlands.
Oh, give over. We want the Knights up in that top division.
Up the Knights.
Up the Neats. Hashtag.
Is that how they say it in York?
I don't know, but that's how they put it forward last year when they played against Toronto.
All right, okay. Also, last weekend, the road to Wembley continued in round two. On the BBC Sports website, 18,000 people tuned in to watch Featherstone Lions take on Fatal Heath.
Were you one of them?
No.
Oh, I was.
Is it a good match?
Brilliant. I tell you what, that's the best game I've seen in about 18 months.
Is it a last-minute drop goal?
No, it wasn't. I mean, they ended up sort of getting away from them in the last few minutes. Oh, but right. What a game. I mean, Fatal Heath gave everything that they had, and Featherstone Lions just had that little bit more. It was a real, real good game. It's difficult to describe just how good that game was. And what it does do is it whets the appetite for the new deal that's been announced on Free Sport, where they're going to actually be televising 30 National Conference League games this year, which is brilliant coverage.
Why can't we have the Championship on there as well, then?
It's tied up in Sky.
Oh, dear.
We've got to wait till that goes. We've got to
cut the apron strings a bit.
Possibly. But brilliant news for the amateur game. It's just the sort of coverage that I think it's crying out for at that level. Because I believe the amateur game is Rugby League's best kept secret in this country.
Round 3 draws just took place while we're on recording this Final Hooter podcast for loverugbyleague.com. And the number one radio show for Radio General as well, talking Rugby League. Adrian Jackson and Dave Parkinson are your jolly hosts.
Jolly?
Yeah.
Well, I'm jolly. I know you were blaming everybody for being cut. You've almost had two rants in this show.
I've had
so
two
far.
Rants. That's not bad for me.
I've only had the one.
Third round draws took place.
Yes. What's happened?
League One clubs enter the stage. I'm still not a fan of this staggered start, by the way.
All right,
seeding.
Okay.
Not a fan of it. But Bradford Bulls are the intriguing one for this one. The Mighty Bulls in the third round of the Champs Cup. They've been drawn at home to West Wales Raiders.
Have they? Yes. Right. What about some of these other fixtures? Right, any other amateur fixtures. Teams against each other?
Hunslet Parkside take on Workington Town.
Oh, that's a good tie.
Our friends at North Wales Crusaders will take on Keighley Cougars.
Oh, that's a good tie.
Coventry Bears versus Dissington.
Dissington, yeah, from Cumbria.
Hemel Stags versus Newcastle Thunder.
Right, okay.
Doncaster versus Mighton Warriors.
Mighton Warriors were brilliant when they defeated Lee Miners Rangers in round one.
The Mighty Pilkington Rex will take on the Mighty Millen.
Oh, brilliant. We've got an amateur tie.
Kells take on the British Army.
Oh, that's another one.
Interesting tie, that. Normanton Knights take on Batley Boys.
Oh, another one.
Amateur one. Whitehaven versus London Scholars.
Yeah.
Askham take on York City Knights.
That won't be easy for York City Knights.
They'll be saying to Askham, can we switch it? Won't they?
Or maybe Askham will be looking at their local professional clubs and saying, Barrow, do you fancy hosting this for us?
Oldham versus Featherstone Lions. And finally, Hunslet take on Ulton Raiders. I'd have loved Hunslet to go Hunslet Club Parkside.
I mean, they played each other the other week. They have a regular friendly against each other, don't they? And
that's just a friendly. It'd be more interesting if it's a Champs Cup title.
Yeah, but last year, Hunslet Parkside beat Hunslet.
Oh, right, okay.
This year, the tables were turned, so it would have been quite intriguing, that. But still, great reward for Ulton Raiders, by the way, because they've had a couple of good scalps already. They knocked Siddle out in the first round of the Challenge Cup, which, when you consider that they're two divisions down from Siddle, it's a worthwhile...
Not sure when them ties are going to take place, by the way. But
next couple of weeks,
couple of weeks, that'll happen. And then after that, it is the Championship and the bottom half of last season's bottom four.
So at that stage, we'll have Widnes and Warrington in the draw.
Okay.
That's going to be interesting.
I'm going to follow this season. I can't just all go in at the same time.
Exactly. Wouldn't it be great if we had all the amateur clubs playing each other and all the pro clubs playing each other?
Exactly. We'll see you.
That was the final Hooter. That was the final Hooter. That was the final Hooter. That was the final Hooter.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final Hooter.